You're listening to Outside the Cage with your hosts, Gabe Owens, Alan Young, and Brian Kilby.
All right, welcome to Outside the Cage. I'm your host, Gabe Owens. With me, as always, Alan Young and Brian Kilby. We're running down the WEC event from this weekend or next weekend, depending on how long it takes Brian to get the show up.
It'll be up by May.
May.
At least.
Last weekend, unless Brian has learned to time travel into the past, which would be a useful skill.
Right. Well, we also might talk a little domestic violence.
Yes. Oh, Tito.
Well, she's a stripper. She's a porn star. She doesn't have a soul, so it doesn't count. So WC had their very first pay-per-view. It was not marketed whatsoever as a WC pay-per-view. It was pretty much marketed as a UFC pay-per-view without using the name. Just, you know, all the people that normally are associated with UFC, like Goldberg, Rogan, Bruce Buffer, use Spike TV for the preliminaries.
Right. And Dana said that the only reason they did it that way was so that they could get the marketing on Spike TV.
I think they're fooling everyone to think it's some kind of UFC they never heard of, which it essentially is.
Right.
I think very soon the name WC as its own brand is kind of a failure. They'll just start marketing it as the UFC lightweights or something like that. The little guys, midget division, something, I don't know. These are very, very tiny men. Joe Rogan, I think, is 5'10", and even he towered over most of the fighters tonight. When they're in there by themselves just fighting, you really don't notice the difference. But
right. Just,
they're with a normal-looking human being.
So what do you got against short people?
I'm only 5'8 myself. I really don't.
I was about to say, little man.
I'm not as small as those guys. Those guys could still kick my ass. They all look to be about 5'4". But we started off the night with a couple of good fights, I guess you could say, on the Spike TV preliminaries. Alex Karolexis of season one of Tough versus Anthony Pettis.
Pettis.
Karolexis in that triangled.
Right.
Second round. It was a good match. Karolexis couldn't keep up with him. Pettis, I don't know much about, but he looked pretty good here.
Right. And he pretty well won the first round and then caught Karolexis in a triangle in round two.
Yep. Well, sure. They seem to like Alex Karolexis. He's kept a job since season one of Ultimate Fighter on and off. Maybe it's the Boston thing with Dana. I don't know.
Or just putting on a consistently good fight even if he doesn't win.
Right.
As long as fighters are entertaining, they tend to be kept around.
I mean, he's no Elvis Sasonic who kept getting fights for no apparent reason. But Alex Sasonic, the key, or Elvis Sasonic, the king of Rock and Rumble.
Sasonic,
I think, has like an 0-8 record in UFC, but they bring him in for a fight like once every other year.
It's Sinisek.
Sinisek, whatever.
Yeah.
Then we had Leonard Garcia versus Chang Sung Jung, the Korean Zombie. May have been one of the more exciting fights we've seen in a cup.
That was an absolutely ridiculous fight. There was no technique to it whatsoever. It was just two guys swinging wildly for three rounds, and it was exciting to watch. And you know,
I thought the Korean Zombie had a bit more control, and he measured a few times. Leonard Garcia had none.
Yeah.
He was winging wild punches.
Yeah, that's true.
Like from, I think Joe Rogan described it from his grandmother's house.
That sounds about right.
Which I guess is like your mom's house, but with less tripping over nickels and such things. But yeah, this was three rounds, two guys going all out. Maybe the most exciting fight since Clay Guida versus Diego Sanchez last year.
Right.
Nothing really on the line here, though. Just quite haven't the impact. Plus, the wrong guy won. Leonard Garcia was given the decision. I have no idea why.
You know, when I was watching that fight, I also scored it 29-28 for Jung.
I had a 30-27.
Really?
The only round I saw, like, you could even argue was the second, and even then, I didn't think Garcia, I think by far, Zombie did way more.
Yeah.
But I could see you arguing the second, but first and third, no way. That was, I don't know what fight. Then again, you know, ringside and on the camera are two different things. So.
Right. And, you know, from what I could see, it was just such a crazy fight that it was really hard to pinpoint a winner either way. So I'm not, you know, that's, you know, me watching from the couch, I had a hard time scoring it. So I'm not surprised that the judges went the other way. And it was a split decision, wasn't it?
It was a split decision, but one of the judges that gave it to Leonard gave it to him 30-27. I don't know where he got that score from.
Yeah.
But
Wouldn't agree with that. But.
I didn't agree with that. I said I thought he clearly won all three rounds. And the only one I would even argue with I would let an argument be had was for the second, but
yeah.
It's hard to tell from you're watching on cameras, and we see more, you know, sometimes than the judges do.
Right.
Sometimes they see things we don't.
Right.
I don't know, maybe the fence post was blocking the, you know, 1,000 to 15 punches that Jung was connecting with, and Leonard was completely whiffing. I don't know. But anyway, it's an exciting fight. I'm pretty sure this got fight of the night. I don't see how it couldn't.
I did see an interview with Jung explaining that his nickname was in reference to the fact that he would just keep coming and keep coming and keep coming.
Yeah, he took some shots. Garcia
kinda
did
like
too.
Like your mom.
Yeah, from his mom's house. But yeah, it was just an exciting barn burner fight. Crowd was super into it.
Yeah.
Sacramento great crowd.
And that I'm sure that fight being on Spike sold a few pay-per-views.
I would imagine so. No, I was wrong. It was 29-28. Two had it 29-28 Garcia. No one had 30-27.
Okay.
Yeah, crowd booed it. Even my wife, who was kind of sort of watching, said, why did the other guy win?
Well, that's pretty impressive.
Fight of the decade, I wouldn't go, there was nothing behind. I mean, in the moment, you can get into the fight, but overall, I mean, there was, you know, Griffin Bonner was for, you know, basically establishing the sport and for the Ultimate Fighter 1 winner.
Right.
You know, Guida Sanchez was probably a title. It was probably for a title shot.
Yeah.
Which actually did being up for a title shot. So.
And this one.
Despite those.
Doesn't have any long term consequences, but it was still a really fun fight to watch.
Then we had the Jorgensen Banuelos fight. Scott Jorgensen's the guy who looks like. I guess they've never explained what his skin condition thing is. He's a burn victim, I think.
Is he?
I don't know. He has, all these pink scar tissue all over him, and they've never once on commentary explained it.
I just assumed it was something like the Michael Jackson skin condition.
I don't think it happens to white people. But I assumed it was from, like, a car accident or fire or something, but... You know, I remember like when Nogueira and Pride, they're like every other fight, they would explain what the hole in his back was, but they've never explained this guy's condition. So.
Okay.
Banuelos from the same camp as Chuck Liddell. He wins some, he loses some.
Yeah, I was really impressed. Banuelos, I gave him the first round and Jorgensen the second two.
Yeah, Banuelos faded after the first round.
Right. But, he still, even in the end when he was defeated, he was constantly trying to work. He never gave up, even though he was being dominated, and I was really impressed by that.
Yeah, he fought right into the end. Both of them did. Yeah, he fought out of the choke right at the end. That was pretty impressive.
Right.
And Wills will probably get another fight, I'm sure. Like I said, I think he's about 50-50.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm reading these notes. Shane Roller versus Anthony Nicani.
Did you... Yeah. Your name starts with two consonants like that. I don't know how to pronounce it. Ninja Gukani.
Yeah, Ninja got tapped out. So, how about that? I don't remember this fight at all. It couldn't have been very exciting.
Yeah, although I wanted to make an Optimus Prime joke about, you know, Roller coming out of his trailer.
Oh, okay. I didn't even get it. We had a Roller. We also had a
right
toner. We had a Thunder Toner, which sounds like a great name for an ink company. But we had the there was a shot of Jake Shields sitting down with Dana White. Obviously,
I fast forwarded through that part, but I read about it. Dana mouths something like "He's mine," or "You mine now," something.
This is not pretty much what we predicted last show. Dana was going out hard for him.
Right.
Dana absolutely hates competition. Strikeforce is competition.
Right.
He's doing any and all things to fuck with him just because it's the kind of guy he is. But, I don't think Jake's under contract yet, but...
Well, yeah, I think he's got 2 months or a little less left on his Strikeforce contract. That's got to run out, and they may have a...
They said they don't have a champions clause like he
right.
does.
They
can't really.
They might have a... what's it, a right to...
They have a right to match offer.
Right to match offer, there we go.
That's pretty standard, but I'm guessing Dana's going to...
Give him
Dana's happy anyway. He's going to make a ridiculous offer, and if they match it, he'll let them take him back, and just knowing he just costed them a shitload of money. Or yeah. He'll take Jake Shields. Either way, Dana's going to be happy.
Yeah.
Then we had the former featherweight champ Mike Brown versus Manville the Anvil Gamborian, also known as the Pitbull Manny Gamborian. Mike Brown, again, just similar situation to the last. You see, a guy we thought was one of these lighter weight guys we thought was kind of unbeatable, lost two in a row. So I think we're kind of at where we don't know where anyone stacks up at 135, 145. It's
Yeah,
I heard someone that, say kind of like they're kind of figuring out where people go.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if Manny gets the next title shot against Aldo for having beaten Brown.
Right, he would have
quickly
to.
And decisively.
Yeah, he beat the former champ. He beat the last guy that was champ. There's
right.
no way you don't title shot. I don't know who else he'd put him against anyway. But as he said, Gamborian won pretty quick. If he does fight Aldo,
he's gonna die.
His only chance is really he's got to work into clinch quick and take him down.
Yeah,
he's not in a bang with him. It's just not a good idea. We had Ben Henderson versus Cowboy Cerrone. Very quick. Henderson was throwing up the Diamond Dallas Page Diamond Cutter. For no apparent reason, but
he was doing the move, or he was doing like the self high five thing.
No, he was holding up the diamond cutter sign, like with the hand, you know, the hand in the V kind of thing.
Yeah, that was for some reason he called that self high five.
Diamond cutter, sure. Anyway, he beat Cerrone quick, grabbed him in a guillotine. There's a lot of guillotines tonight. This everyone. Stop getting your head caught in guillotines. So, Cerrone got caught pretty quick. He was out. Henderson remains your champion. Good charisma on the kid. I like him. Good thing he's got a good exposure here.
Mm-hmm.
So I see big things for him. But he is kind of the poor man's champion. He's the champion of 155. UFC has an actual 155 division.
Right. Although they have been talking about once they get the 125 division going in the WEC, that merging the 155s back into the UFC.
I can see that. Then I got to the main event. Champion Jose Aldo versus Uriah Faber. Story of this fight was Uriah just had nothing for Aldo. He wasn't fast enough.
Right.
Couldn't check the leg kicks. His left leg just got brutalized for 5 rounds. He was limping.
Mm-hmm.
I think someone had pictures of it. It's pretty gross.
Yeah.
Billy Black turned black. It's right on the thigh.
I did give the first round of that fight to Faber, but after that it was pretty damn lopsided.
Double judges did.
Yeah. It was close. The first round was pretty competitive anyway, but after that it got really lopsided. I wish they'd be a little more loose with the 10-8 and 10-7 rounds, because a couple of those deserved it.
I think one judge did give the round where he's caught in the crucifix and was getting elbowed to death. one judge did give that a 10-8. That was definitely a 10-8 round.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're scared giving out 10-8s.
They are.
If you actually use the 1 through 10 system, there'd be a lot, I think there'd be more interesting scores, but they don't.
Yeah. You would have, you'd have fewer questionable decisions, I think.
Possible. The Shogun, I think, definitely, the Shogun Machida match. But you never know. Just the way the judges look at. They already had Cecil Peoples defend that he doesn't consider leg kicks damaging, which is why he ruled for Machida over Shogun. Huh. And here we definitely saw leg kicks do hurt.
Oh, yeah. Well, we saw that in, Forrest versus Rampage. Forrest made effective use of leg kicks and
took his wheel off.
Squeaked out a victory.
We've seen a guy beat it. I forget who it was. Someone won. The guy tapped from leg strikes. He just said, I can't stand on this leg anymore. There's no point in getting it out. Screw it. I give up.
Seems like there was something else recently.
It actually kind of last two rounds weren't very exciting for time. I was more interested in watching Uriah's cornrows fall apart. Interesting. After the crucifix, I think Aldo might have tired himself out.
His cornrows are symbolic of his spirit.
Yeah, they were just slowly unraveling. Well, at one point, his corner literally picked him up from the ground and carried him to his corner between rounds, which I thought was pretty funny. They didn't want him to put any weight on that leg.
Mm.
So, Uriah's a tough kid. That's the second fight he's gone 5 rounds where he was messed up halfway through and just kept going.
Yeah.
So that was the card. I don't think they showed any more. I didn't see any more fights.
Yeah, there were a couple more. Bantamweight, Pickett versus Johnson. That was...
Did that. No, the toner fight. Yeah, the Thunder toner fight, which I think also ended in...
Wait. Hold on. You're skipping this one. The Pickett versus Johnson fight where... Pickett threw a flying knee at Johnson, and I'm sorry, Johnson threw a flying knee, and Pickett basically caught him in midair and threw him down.
I didn't see that one. Is that shown after the Faber fight?
No, it was after the Brown
Pickett Johnson fight.
Hmm?
I'm going back through here.
Oh. Yeah, it was an undercard fight, but they slipped it in there.
Yeah, I see. Okay, yeah. I don't remember it off the top of my head.
Okay.
I remember the Toner fight. Just because the guy's name was Toner. It's like, is your brother named Ink Cartridge? I mean, what the hell? Toner won. I remember Toner won with another guillotine.
Yeah, go back and watch the Pickett-Johnson fight when you get a chance. It's right after the Brown-Gamberian fight.
I did see it. Okay, the black guy, right?
Yeah.
Okay, I remember that fight.
The black guy. The only black guy on the planet.
Isn't like a British black guy?
I do not know. I didn't listen to him speak. I fast forwarded through the boring parts.
Yes, he is from England.
Okay.
Yeah, I was watching it on computer through an HDMI port. I'd have to get up and fast forward, so I was just too lazy to do that.
I've got the VLC remote app on my iPhone, so I can sit on my couch and control it.
Yeah, I should get more stuff like that. I just don't get around to it. Yeah, that was the WWE card. Very, very good showing for the first pay-per-view. Again, probably pointless. They're going to, I think, merge the UFC sooner than later. Now that there's not a big... Now that, you know, Spike has pretty much said you can show UFC on WEC, there's no reason. I mean, on Versus.
Right.
There's no reason to keep them separate anymore. Plus, you're just killing the younger, the smaller weight guys with paydays because WEC doesn't get paid nearly as much.
Right. So that brings up the question, though, of the fact that there was a WEC pay-per-view and we both saw it through alternative means, which we do not endorse here at Outside the Cage.
Right.
And we discussed this the other day on the phone, but, you know, 2 weeks prior was the big UFC pay-per-view with two title defenses, and 2 weeks later is the next UFC pay-per-view with the...
two title defenses.
Are there two on this one?
Cerrone Henderson.
No. Oh, I mean, no, 2 weeks from now, 2 weeks after the WEC pay-per-view is...
There's another one with two title defenses, right?
Well, that's what I was getting at. Are there two on that one? That's the
Hua
Machida rematch.
Just the 205ers, I think. Well, nobody else to be up for...
Right.
Yeah. But it's the number one contendership for... Walter weights on there, Daly and Koscheck.
Right. So anyway, my point being, you got 2 weeks, 2 weeks, 2 weeks, and that's just really, as far as I'm concerned, that's oversaturating the market. That's, you know, if...
One of the cards should have been free on TV.
Yeah, or... Or at least, you know, a $25 or $35 pay-per-view would be easier to justify than another $45 or $55 pay-per-view. And personally, I'm an HD whore, so I always get the $55 one. But
depends on your market. Cox doesn't charge extra for HD, so.
Really?
Yay, my cable company.
But you also don't have HDNet, so.
I do not have HDNet.
It even
I also bad. Can't record. Yeah, I also can't record. I can't. Well, it's another story. I won't even get into it. Just
you're talking about your pay-per-view porn again.
No, it's TiVo's stupid TiVo's problems with buying pay-per-view.
Okay.
But anyway, hopefully the next premiere should fix that. I think, but I don't even want to get into it.
Okay.
But yeah, it's too much. If you're going to run three, you can't run three pay-per-views.
Yeah.
Within 6 weeks, one of those shows should have been free.
Yeah, it's...
But I believe you could have bought the WEC on UFC.com for $26.
Really?
Yes.
I didn't realize it was less expensive there. I might have actually done that. Oh, well.
I could not, so I probably that's probably what I would have ended up doing. I just ran it through an HDMI, ran through the HDMI.
Right. I'll be sure to keep an eye on that next time. But yeah, if they're going to keep doing the WEC pay-per-views, and I don't have any real problem with running the WEC pay-per-views. It was a card worthy of the money.
And it ended up being a damn good card, too.
It did. And I just... they need to be spread out a little more. That's my only complaint. That's just too much too close together.
Yeah, they have too many fighters under contract. They got to get fights. They run all these fight. You got all these fight night, and that's. I think there's probably a fight night coming up. Not too long after the pay per view either. But again, that's free, and definitely can't complain about free.
Right. Well, free if you have cable, and you have to sit through a damn lot of commercials. But still, well, nothing extra.
I thumb my nose at people that don't have cable or satellite. You know.
Oh yeah.
They complain they can't get something because it's on cable. I'm like, quit being a cheapskate, dude. I think a basic cable package costs $15.
Stupid poor people.
I literally don't remember the last person I knew besides, like, you know, crazy hippie Rob Powers that only had like open antenna. And the only reason he switched is because the HD conversion never worked for him, so he just was forced to actually have a channel selection beyond three. I don't know, that's just me. I'm wacky like that.
So, I guess we could go back to this domestic abuse.
I've yet to even look at a story on it. I just got your I got your tweet. It's about update on, okay, I'm on the Figure Four website. Jameson has filed a restraining order. Ortiz is still at Huntington Beach Jail on $25,000 bond. He claims Ortiz threw her to the ground. Said he never attacked her before, but he never will again. Dana says, we're going to be fair, but we could cut him.
Yeah.
So, doesn't sound good for Tito.
Or Jenna. I mean, she's kind of the victim here, allegedly.
I said she's a porn star. She's soulless. I have.
Yeah.
She's been beaten up worse on a porn set, I'm sure.
On film.
Yeah.
And people jerked off to it.
He threw her to the ground. He's probably just practicing his takedowns.
But I wish them the best.
Of course, I'm all kidding before I get angry letters from one of our 70.
One of our 70 listeners.
Well, we've not gotten, like, angry letters on the perceived racism from, you know, the constant reference to black-on-black crime. So, you know, domestic abuse.
I know.
I'm picking.
I did not come up with that phrase. That came from Rampage. That
came from Rampage himself.
Black-on-black crime. Oh! Hey, my favorite fighter's black, so I don't even want to hear it.
My president's black.
It's true. Mine's half black. How's yours working out for you?
Oh, he's a nice mocha color.
He is. Pretty handsome, dude.
Kind of scrawny though.
A little scrawny. He'd be about a 185er, I think.
He's pretty tall.
Lanky 185er.
Yeah, maybe he can challenge Anderson Silva.
Yeah. I kind of don't think the Secret Service would go for that. No.
I don't even know if he's... What is he a fan of? I know he's a basketball fan.
Yeah,
like,
basketball, comic book, Star Trek. But...
He's a baseball... I think he's a White Sox fan. Baseball. we need a president in the MMA. Then we just... A lot easier.
Yeah, we just almost elected John McCain.
No, well, it really wasn't even close.
Well,
he backtracked on the whole thing too.
Yeah, I know. I was making a joke.
Yeah. Oh, I understand. I mean, he is like the devil. Still the most MMA fans in the U.S. Just because.
Yeah.
His name will always be attached to the crusade to. Take down MMA, and it almost worked. You know, the fact that this sport survived in the States is just amazing at this point.
Right.
Really look at the history of it. You know, they didn't have pay per view for years. So
that reminds me of something else that I saw. There's a rumor, and I guess by the time this goes live, it'll either be confirmed or denied. But there's a rumor that the next Dream card will use Pride rules.
I thought they pretty much were using Pride rules. Oh, they don't use kicks. They don't do soccer kicks and all that stuff.
Right. And, you know, my complaint is changing the rules for one event. It really muddles the water. Was that a word? Muddles the water?
Good, close enough.
Muddies the water. Anyway, it confuses things as far as winners and losers and rankings and even titles, because, you know, if someone wins a title due to a soccer kick, which is legal in this one event, is the title really valid after this event when the soccer kicks are no longer legal? So that's...
Well, they've been arguing for longer than ever that Japan MMA and US MMA are two different sports.
Right.
Whether how it should count for records, you know, close enough. I really wouldn't challenge it, but
yeah,
they also don't do elbows. So, I mean, a guy that won with the elbow ground and pound, should his win count in Japan?
Right. You know. And, you know, I don't have a complaint about one organization using certain rules, another organization using a slightly varied set of rules. I mean, even Strikeforce doesn't allow elbows on the ground, do they?
UFC is the only one. Everyone else is afraid of cuts.
Right. So my argument is just with the same organization varying the rules between matches, between events. I just don't like that. You know, if you're gonna do a permanent change to the rules, that's one thing. But
yeah, you weren't around for the early days of the UFC where the events changed. The rules changed every frigging event.
Right.
Well, it was like, okay, this time the weight classes are this, and this time the rules are this.
Right. Well, that's another matter too. When the sport was fledgling and nobody was hardly watching, but
it's still fledgling. It doesn't have a 100-year history like boxing, and even boxing changes the rules.
Well, yeah, that's true. But still, if you're going to make a rule change, make it with the intent of it being a long-term rule change. Don't change the rules for one event as a gimmick. I don't like that, and that's the only point I wanted to make.
It'll be Dream's Extreme Rules.
Extreme.
Well, you didn't get the WWE's last pay-per-view was called Extreme Rules, so.
Oh.
It was supposed to be like an all gimmick pay-per-view, basically. Oh. And in Japan treats MMA more like pro wrestling, so it's a valid comparison, actually.
Yeah.
But I'm still waiting for tag teams and street fights and
wow.
I would pay to see a lumberjack match.
That would actually... in Japan they do have lumberjacks because they fight in a ring, and when guys grapple, they end up falling out. So there literally are guys around the ring keeping them in.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, every Pride match is literally a lumberjack match. Or I guess the
Dream.
Dream, yeah.
Except for the one odd Dream match where they had a cage instead of a ring, which, again, is basically changing the rules, which, for one event, which I don't like. But I just made that point.
Yeah, it's Dream. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
But the people, they have done tag teams and, like, small shows here and there. I really want to see one just to see how it works.
That sounds like
You get the 5-second rule where, like, you can put the guy in the headlock, walk to your corner, tag the guy in, and you can both work him over for 5 seconds. I'm curious because they've done it. It's been done like a half dozen times.
That sounds like a really bad idea.
From what I heard, it wasn't bad, but UFC will never do it because it's too pro wrestling.
Well, yeah.
Dana's been asked. He's like, no, it's even as an experiment, it's not gonna happen. Too closely associated with pro wrestling. And on that note, unless you have anything, Brian, you want to talk a little pro wrestling talk?
You know, no. Nothing pro wrestling on my end this week.
Bautista is quitting WWE. He's going to go act.
Good luck with that.
Other than the WWE Raw crew was stuck in Scotland for like a week because of the ash. And before that, the SmackDown crew barely got out of Europe and spent 47 hours straight awake traveling. It sounded like it really sucked. So, sucky week all around for WWE, it sounded like, at least for the talent. And Bautista's leaving. And they fired like 6 people.
Who did they fire?
Mickey James, Shelton Benjamin.
Really? They fired Mickey James?
Yes. She got future endeavored. Shelton Benjamin, which not shocking whatsoever.
No. That's a lot of wasted talent.
Sho Funaki finally got the axe after 12 years. Kung Funaki. If you recall, I think he's been steadily employed since like 1998.
Yeah, actually he has.
One guy they just, for whatever reason, has never fired, but he finally got the axe. They're doing some house cleaning. But Bautista's leaving on his own accord. They gave some movie role to Triple H he was supposed to get. It was like the last straw. He's not just going to renew. Here's a list. WWE releases 6 before draft. Jimmy Wang Yang. So two Asian guys. So they're and a black guy. Katie Lee Burchill. Mickey James. Slam Master J. I don't even know who that is. Is he like the DJ of something?
Probably.
Okay. And they fired one. Oh, it says one more cut. Yeah, they're... They're cleaning house, which usually they do after WrestleMania. Mike Knox, which is a shame because we talked about CM Punk's beard. Mike Knox's beard is just epic. So I guess that's going to be it for Outside the Cage this week. I want to thank Brian and Alan for tuning in and all of you for tuning in. We will see you next
all
time.
All 70 of you.
Maybe 75 at this point.
Hey, somebody actually liked our link on Facebook. I was very proud. I was very happy.
Hey, this is number 71.
You've been listening to Outside the Cage with your hosts, Gabe Owens, Alan Young, and Brian Kilby. Outside the Cage is a Radio Free Cybertron production. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Copyright 2010, Radio Free Cybertron.